with the great Doug Gottlieb. How you doing, Doug?
I'm good. I'm good. How about this? These series are crazy, aren't they?
Well, okay. So, obviously, I understand home court advantage, or I understand, you know, being in a what it's like as an athlete, as a player, to be at home as opposed to on the road. Like, I get it all. But, and you know, in basketball, it's so much more pronounced. And I'm just wondering, explain to me why in certain series or why in college basketball, but especially in this Eastern Conference Finals, while these teams and the role players primarily look so completely different when they're on their home floor as opposed to on the road. There shouldn't be that big of a discrepancy, Doug.
There shouldn't be, and it's funny, you know, here, you know, the juxtaposition of home court advantage when in the other series both teams have won a game on the other team's home court, you know. I would say, honestly, the two biggest things are for the Celtics, it's youth, and more than anything, officiating. You know, teams are able to the Cavs were able to get away with being super, super physical, whereas, you know, Marcus Morris was calling for a couple of really quick, cheap fouls when he was in Cleveland last night. And going back to game two, Boston was allowed to be really physical. Then you combine that with, you know, young guys, you know, feed off the energy of their home crowd, get into foul trouble or get down themselves when they're on the road. So there's some matchup stuff, too. But I would say those are the two biggest things is, you know, young players going up and down with the energy of the game, playing home versus road, and the confidence of Jaylen Brown and his teammates. And the other part is, and I think the bigger part is the officiating. You know, Celtics allowed to get away with just being brutally physical games one and two, getting a tight whistle three and four, and the opposite is and five. And the opposite is true with the Cavs.
The Cavs veterans are the biggest goats in this series to me. I'm not talking about greatest of all time. These guys look like they're ready for Cancun.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, part of it is this is who they are, you know? I mean, look, LeBron is – these guys were handpicked by LeBron. Now, in fairness, they were also
Where'd Gottlieb go?
He black out? What happened?
Where did he go?
He's up, and then
he's gone. Is he in an elevator today? Is that line still blinking, Mizzle? Doug.
The phone is still connected. I don't know where Doug went.
Please let us know you're all right.
Douglas.
Say something. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody in there?
I don't think he's
Doug.
In there.
I'm here. What's up?
Would you?
Wow. Well, how did I lose you?
Are you in an elevator?
Did you hit the mute button with your face? I'm sure they were great. You're just going to have to make them again so people can hear them. You might have hit, like, the mute button with your face. Mark, where did he leave off?
You're about to be honest with us, I think.
Okay.
You're going to be honest.
So look, Mark, I agree with you. They look bad. And on the other hand, you know, they were also put together, most of them, to play with not just LeBron, but also Kyrie Irving. You know, you play shooters around two guys that are shot creators, and then everybody else does their job. I think the biggest thing is, you know, I don't know why they paid J.R. Smith so much money. You know, he had become a fringe NBA player, and LeBron had saved his career. That said, winning an NBA championship with J.R. Smith as your starting two guard, I mean, that's the stuff of legend more than anything else. And then, you know, Tristan Thompson, there's a guy who sometimes he has great energy, sometimes he doesn't, but also some of that is matchups in that playing against legit big guys, he can't do anything. He's not a great rebounder, defender, shot blocker. But when you play against small ball big guys, now all of a sudden he's effective. I thought that's where Brad Stevens won the game last night was in those adjustments.
Is this thing going to stay true to course as we've seen, and it going to go seven back in Boston? Think Cleveland gets it on track in the queue?
I can't tell. I really can't tell because as much as, you know, you look at game four, for example, game four was a lot closer. You know, they got blitzed out of the gate, but it was a seven-point game late in the fourth quarter, and Jaylen Brown took a terrible shot. Marcus Smart took a terrible shot. They, you know, there were some plays to which there were some 5-0 and 6-0 swings because of it. And then you look in, Kyle Korver made shots that he hasn't made, he hasn't made since, and he won't make again. So I do think that Boston has a chance to go all in. I guess my question to you guys is this. Is it possible that LeBron James was a little bit, didn't feel great last night, and not only did he not feel great, but he's also going to conserve energy because he knows this thing is going to go seven?
Possibly.
I don't blame him. I'm sure he's tired, physically tired. I think that he's, he played a ton of minutes in the regular season, and he's had to work his tail off in the playoffs so far.
I think he's gone, Doug. That's one of my big takeaways. I don't see how, if they can move somebody and bring in one other guy, Philly's getting better. Boston's going to be better when they have Hayward, when they have Kyrie Irving next year. I look at that Cavs roster. I look at some of those bad contracts. And if LeBron James' number one interest this offseason is putting himself in position to try to get another championship before he's done, I don't see how that's in Cleveland, Doug.
I tend to agree. And he's somebody who's not afraid of change, and he's been able to show that he can win wherever he goes. So I guess the question is, what's the best fit for him? And I know that people are like, well, look, the Lakers are in the West, and the Lakers would still be behind the Rockets and the Warriors. But, man, if the Lakers can get Paul George and LeBron James, and maybe Kawhi Leonard as well, maybe package what they have to go and get a Kawhi Leonard as well, that's a championship-caliber team, depending on who they put around them. Even without Kawhi Leonard, you're in that discussion. And remember, Chris Paul is a free agent. So there's a lot of possibilities there. I tend to agree with you that he's probably gone. The only thing holding me back from agreeing with you totally is, look at the respect that LeBron James is getting. Here they are. They're trailing 3-2 in a best-of-7 series against a Boston team that doesn't have their two best players. Right? So this is a series. Remember, they're the favorite to win the series. Even after losing game one, they're the favorite to win this series. And people are still not, and why should you be critical of LeBron James? He has put himself in a place to which it's kind of a no-lose to stay in Cleveland. So I wouldn't totally close the door just yet. Imagine if they win 6 and win game 7. And go to the NBA Finals for another year in a row, does he then absolutely lead Cleveland? I think the answer is I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet either.
If they win the series, I think that maybe he stays around. But, man, he's got to be looking around going, hey, and by the way, at this point in time in his career, he's not looking for attaboys. He's chasing Jordan. Okay, and there's some that'll say he'll never catch him, but LeBron James, that's where he wants to go. So it's not about taking good teams to the finals and losing. He gets chastised that already on his resume, and he'll do it again if he makes another NBA Finals. The only way he changes that narrative or even gets in that conversation for a lot of people, which you know he wants to be, is if he wins championships.
And
I'm saying it's not in Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't know that he can go someplace and guarantee himself a title. Hey, Doug, we don't have you for very much longer. I do want to ask you this about the Western Conference Finals. I was stunned the other night for the last 7.5 minutes of that game that the Rockets put at such a frenzied pace defensively on the Warriors that they forced them into so many bad shots. I thought that was stunning. I mean, it made Golden State look like they were arrogant. They kind of didn't want it. But I was thoroughly impressed with Houston in the series. I still don't think they're going to win, but that was a great performance at the end of Game 4.
The best point you made was that it looked like Golden State was discombobulated, right? They looked like the team that hadn't been there before. They were rushing shots. They kind of freaked out. I think the physicality threw them off. They did. It was a frenzied pace. They got all screwed up. Now, the beauty to it is they got 2 or 3 games to figure it out. But I'd agree with you. I was really impressed with Houston. I do think officiating played a part in that. Again, these games get really physical. And we've seen this from KD. Now all of a sudden he's posting up 18 feet from the basket instead of 10 feet from the basket. And he took a couple of terrible shots. Steph took a couple of terrible shots. Clay took a couple of terrible shots. I also think, though, that not having Iguodala is bigger than people think. Even though he's a non-shooter, he knows where he's supposed to be as opposed to Kayvon Looney and Jordan Bell just kind of being in the way. Kind of like Andre Robertson was always in the way for the Thunder. It's really hard when there's an extra guy or two in the lane muddying up that lane. But, yeah, I can't take anything away from Houston, from Chris Paul, and making shots and getting stops and holding a prolific offensive team to 13 points at home in the fourth quarter. That was That was all them. And I do think it was, they made the game kind of frenetic and ragtag, and that did not play to the strength of Golden State.
Who you got tonight, and is that dependent on if Iguodala plays?
Yeah, I think he's going to play. He went through shoot around. Steve Kerr just came out and said Clay's going to play. Look, I think Golden State wins, but I'm not sure. I would not bet in Vegas, even straight up. So I'm going to be watching. I love the idea that we don't know the outcome. So, whereas I thought the outcome of this series was not at all in doubt going back 48 hours ago, now I do.
Thanks, Doug. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again very soon.
Later, dude.
Thanks, Doug.
Later.